Wow. Yeah. No, it's something's got to give soon. That's for sure. I'm running for House of Representatives here in Pennsylvania, and I'm just wondering if there's not going to be enough of a red wave that they're going to do something to stop the elections. I mean, it would a false flag, another COVID release. I mean, they can.
Fauci's already saying that. He said COVID isn't over. There's going to be something else coming. So Bill Gates is saying there's something else coming. So I'm going to get ready for whatever they're going to release, trying to stop it.
Yeah, well, I think that's what we got to do. We got to be out ahead in front of it, talking about it just like now. It's like, guys, are going to do this whole thing again. You know, were they only going to do it on election years because, oh, we're going to have more mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania and they're going to steal the election again. I got that. Nobody realized. They said election integrity one time this morning in the debate. I got on my platform. This election has been stolen, period. So, yeah, the media ain't going to like me here. That's for sure.
Well, the purpose of the media, they're supposed to be asking the tough questions, but they haven't been so much because they're in the pocket of Soros and the Clintons and the Gateses and the deep state and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all them. All the media across the world is also, like I said, a bunch of them in the pockets and stuff. That's why with Ukraine, what we're seeing over there, a lot of those reporters that say that they're there, I've watched behind them and I'm like, it looks more like a green screen than they're actually there. And one of the images I saw was you could tell like the buildings were desolate and stuff. And there was this one in the background and there was this one bush with no leaves on it. And it had a little stuffed animal in it. The stuffed animal had no soot, no dirt, no anything on it. And I'm like, that was staged, whether it was in Ukraine or in a Hollywood studio, that was staged to elicit an emotional response. Obviously, but people can't see that. They have a hard time seeing that.
No. And that's what I tell people, whatever everybody is pushing across the board, media, I mean, ESPN, Walmart, anywhere, when they're pushing the same narrative across the board, you have to just stop. If you just stop and say, this is a lie, what's really going on, then you'll be on a trail of breadcrumbs that'll get you to the truth. But if you just buy, you know, the same people that didn't buy this nonsense for 2 years are now buying this Ukraine nonsense. So I don't get it. People are just, I mean, Jesus said we're all sheep, right? But he said, my sheep know my voice. So people are just sheep. So it's just really what voice are you listening to? And I think that's where we're at. That's the clear distinction that's happening in America. You know it as well as I do.
Yeah. And as Christians in the church, what I find funny is that they find it so hard to believe that there are people who actually outrightly worship Satan, who eat children, who drink their blood. Like Nineveh, a great example. That's why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. And I wouldn't blame him because he wanted them to burn in hell. He didn't want God to save them because they were so evil. If you look at the history, they were an evil people.
Oh, yeah.
But then God saved him. And I'm like, the same. So I find it so weird that Christians, church people that like, it's so hard for them to believe that there are people that still do this. There's nothing new under the sun. No. So.
No. And like I said, I was not raised in the church. So I was a hellraiser for 27 years. So, I mean, I know what, you know, but my wife wasn't. She was raised in a good Christian home. I mean, when I say this, it's just like it's inconceivable in her mind. And a lot of the people that are sitting in the church, they've been raised in the church. They think no evil. So they don't know these people exist. So when I said, guys, this vaccine's a genocide weapon, they're either trying to kill people or sterilize them. And that's what that interview with Candace Owen and Robert Malone was. It's like all these women are having all these miscarriages and people who are already past their prime are starting to bleed again. And I'm like, guys, all they got to do is just, Bill Gates said it from the beginning, until every person on the planet is vaccinated, all they got to do is sterilize a generation and you've just depopulated the planet without concentration camps and everything else.
Yep. I know. And children menstruating, like girls that have like young children and stuff. And it's ridiculous. And then pushing all this transgender stuff. It's obviously to steal, kill and destroy, because that's what Satan wants to do. And whether these people are worshiping him outright or just because they're not worshiping God, it's like either way, it's like steal, kill and destroy. And that's all this stuff, whether it's child sex trafficking, the COVID stuff, all of it. Yep.
It's funny you said that, because I was sitting there watching during. So I knew the whole BLM, George Floyd, that was a fake murder. That was all a plan just to get the racial things tied up and burn in cities. That's been their plan since the 50s.
Yeah.
And then you had the election thing. And I said, guys, this is all about derailing this election. And I remember sitting, I'm glad you said that scripture, because I was sitting in front of the TV watching BLM burn cities. And that was the scripture that came to mind. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm like, there's no Christians out there, because the Spirit of God is not going to let you destroy somebody. There's no way I could do that. I don't care how mad I was at anybody. I'm not going out and just, you know, maybe the person who's doing it, but not some innocent neighbor just because I'm mad and I'm going to destroy my neighbor's property and go loot a Walmart or whatever. I mean, you know what spirit's influencing them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the spirit of Satan. It's like, and a lot of these people, like I said, the Gates and stuff, all of them, because like Marina Abramović or their spiritual advisors, like the Gates and stuff. And I'm like, they actually outrightly worship Satan. So it's not just that they're choosing between one, they're actually outrightly worshiping Satan, and they're not even hiding it in a sense and stuff. And then that's why with like the child trafficking and then like killing them and stuff, which is, and also with abortion, because for the years, I never can understand how Democrats particularly could be so excited when their kids get pregnant if they didn't believe it was really a child. And then whenever, like I said, last year in January, I started waking up to all this stuff and I'm like, abortion is child sacrifice to them. It's a blood sacrifice. And that's exactly what they murdered millions of children because they know exactly that they're children. They know they're children and they're killing them purposefully to serve their father, the devil.
Yep. And that's why I got drafted in, because there's a group here called Abolish Abortion PA that they're trying to get a state rep in there. And they had one who got very close and then he back chickened out. And then I interviewed the guy on like a Thursday and he's like, man, we need someone like you in office. And I'm like, well, I've been thinking about running. So they're like, do it. We'll get behind you, my people. So we only got 10 days in Pennsylvania to get signatures because of what the courts did here instead of 3 weeks. So, the Democrats redistricted everything and they tried to make it more Democrat family. A Republican suit that was held up in court forever. And then finally they said, okay, here's the new lines. Go get signatures. You got 10 days. So I got till Monday to get 300 signatures for my district. But this abolitionist group is sending up like 7 people from Pittsburgh to go out and get signatures for me this weekend. So nice. be praying we can get at least 300 signatures. We're going to try to go like 500 so they don't challenge a bunch of them. But we got the voter rules. We know who the right voters are. We know who to go to. So just be praying that'll be successful.
Absolutely. Well, that's good. It's about we the people standing up. Local action equals it goes to like national impact. And that's exactly what it is. Everybody's standing up in their counties and their local levels. And like I said, I'm a precinct captain in the Republican Party here. I'm doing a bunch of stuff. So it's like everybody can do something. Like, you know, like everybody can do, there's a place for everybody, which is so cool about this movement. It's because everybody can do something and there's a place in anybody, like there's a place for everybody.
And it's about waking the church up, because I'll tell you what, I mean, everything you said there is not even being said in most churches. People that have a Bible, I'm telling them, there's a spirit of Christ and there's a spirit of Antichrist. I can take you from Genesis where it says your seed will have enmity with their seed. I said, right through the Bible, what do you have? You have two genealogical lines, the children of God and the children of the devil. The children of the devil always seek to kill the children of God. That's why Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. And they're like, oh, if we lived in the days of our father, we wouldn't have killed the prophets. He said, you're testifying against yourself. You're not saying you're the children of the prophets. You're saying you're the children of the people who killed the prophets. So those two genealogical lines are really what's being manifested here in our time. And it's wild to watch.
Yeah. I know. I'm excited to see if we see a big red wave, because the Democrats, it sounds like, are already preparing for a bloodbath. And so it'll be interesting if they like to try to pull a false flag or try to change something. And they're going to try to do something because they know they're going to lose this time. Unless they cheat, of course, they know they're going to lose because everybody's so sick of what Biden's done, of like these high prices, of the stuff at the border, of all this other thing, like them caring about everybody else, but not the American people. And they're like, they're sick of it, which is so cool. And it's why, that's why they're all running and trying to be like, okay, COVID's over. Okay, this. And they're all parroting Trump speeches and stuff, trying to sound like Trump because they're trying, because they know it's coming and you're like, sorry. No, it's not working.
No. And that's why I tell people, you better be very, very careful. They don't have some kind of false flag. They don't, You know, they don't launch, they don't, you know, let off a nuke somewhere and say Russia did it or try to suck us into a war. Oh, we got to suspend the election. I mean, I'm just telling people, you know, because I saw a Facebook post, what I thought was excellent, said, not like I'm keeping score, but if for the last 2 years, conspiracy theorist 21, everybody else zero. So everything that was a conspiracy theory when this all started off all proved to be true. So now it's more like a spoiler alert than it is a conspiracy theory.
I know, because now the Hunter Biden laptops on mainstream, well, Fox, and then there's only certain amounts they can hide it. And then it gets to a point where they can no longer hide it anymore. And the New York Times even writing pieces on that. And then Ashley Biden's diary. So I'm like, so that was just yesterday. So we'll see what comes out from that. So I'm like, there's some stuff already starting to be put into the mainstream media that I'm like, I never would have thought would have been there. And I'm like, whoa, this actually made it there.
Yeah, Epoch Times is about the only ones I really follow faithfully. I get their emails and their alerts. I know Josh Phillips personally. He's a great dude. Yeah, because we had him down and gave him an award at one of the film festivals, and we text back and forth different things. But Epoch Times is great. They're all about truth.
And
like I said, I get a lot of my information from there, and they're saying things that Fox won't even touch. You know, especially about the vaccines and everything else. Yep. I mean, you know, Candace Owens and a few more that are kind of, I mean, you can see the people that got kicked off of Fox, the Bill O'Reillys and the Glenn Becks. And, you know, they're a little too radical for Fox. Well, I'm even on the other side of that. I'm a little more radical than Glenn
Beck. We need radicalization right now. It's like the good, like patriots radicalizing and being like, you're not going to hurt us. You're not going to hurt our children. We're taking this back. It's like, you're not going to get this. We, the people, are the ones who are the owners of this country. It's like, we decide in this country what goes and what doesn't. You representatives are supposed to do our will. You're not supposed to do your own.
I would encourage your viewers to go to my website, AmericaUnhingedRadio.com. And I got a video on there. One of the big ones I got one with Alan Keyes and me. And then I got another one that I talk about government. And that's one of the things I said when people were like, 'cause I quit my job. Of course, I told you that when they said you're going to wear a mask. And I'm like, I ain't wearing no mask. You're not enslaving me. And they said, well, you can't come to work. I'm like, that's fine. So everywhere I went, I'd go up into Erie and Sam's Club. I'd be the only one in the store without a mask. And I mean, it didn't matter where I went. Someone was like, why aren't you wearing a mask? I'm like, why should I wear a mask? I was on. So Alan Keyes, I book all of Alan Keyes' guests. And he had a guy on that was guest host, and he wanted to talk about Ukraine. And he was kind of siding with Ukraine. And I got on there and I just went off. And I'm like, these guys, there was a coup. They're in bed with the Clintons. They're in bed with the Bidens. I'm like, you got the, I mean, and he's just like, and all of a sudden they lost their internet. I mean, Brighty on TV lost their internet completely.
Wow.
And I was getting texts from everybody going, boy, they didn't like to hear that. But you're not hearing it from anybody, you know, because they do the same thing they do with racism. You know, boy, if you even stood up for Putin, oh man, they would pull you over the rail. And that's why these, you know, some of these Republicans are even so cowardly. Hey, I'm just telling you the facts. I'm telling you the facts. I'm not saying Putin good, but I am saying Ukraine, immoral, wicked cesspool.
Well, we know Putin ain't no choir boy. Like I said, he is still a dictator, but I'm like, he does actually care about his people, which Ukraine is still a part of Russia. They're still the administrative district of the Soviet Union, like that guy years ago, for like 10 years ago, the former UN guy said, and he was, of course, canceled for that because he said, whenever they filed the paperwork, he's like, it's actually not null and void. So he's like, Ukraine's actually still administrative district of the Soviet Union, aka Russia. So it's like Putin's going in and he's like, you guys have been on my turf long enough. Get out.
Exactly. And then there's one other one. What is it? Belarus or something. There's one other country right there that ain't part of.
Yeah. Belarus,
that isn't part of NATO. And I'm just like, look, NATO hates Russia and they're just encroaching right there on his border. And I said that on the show too. Yeah. And he's like, well, if they haven't attacked you, I said, if I remember correctly, Russia sent some missiles to Cuba and Russia didn't attack us, but they put missiles in our backyard in the Cuban Missile Crisis. And John F. Kennedy didn't stand for it, did he? So he's like, well, that's a good point. But they always see you as a Putin sympathizer, you know, rather than just going, hey, these people are evil.
I know. Yeah. like I said, and that's why Putin going in, it's like, look, we're not saying he's a good, like he's cares about his people and he's going in, even though he's done bad things. I'm like, you know what? He's the other ones, they're deep state. Putin is not deep state. He's no choir boy, but he ain't deep state and he doesn't want the deep state. Same thing with like China, probably going to be going into Taiwan, because I know Taiwan, they've been doing a bunch of child trafficking and all the money laundering and stuff out of there too. And well, Ukraine, even the bio labs and stuff that are there. Yeah. And stuff. So, and I believe some of the people I had heard, which I obviously don't know what was there, but I'm like possibly like airborne rabies, some of this other stuff. So like serious things. Cause I mean, if airborne rabies, which of course deep state wouldn't surprise me, they've made all these movies about zombie apocalypses. So if they release something like a rabies, like an airborne rabies virus, that would be like a worldwide zombie apocalypse. And of course they always put in front of us what they're going to do in movies and TV shows. So all these movies, Walking Dead, 28 days later, all these zombie movies, Zombieland and stuff, which actually I do like some of them, but I'm like, they're still throwing it right in your face. Like this is what we're going to try to do to y'all.
Yeah. I watched that. What was it called? It was on World War Z with Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the UN was the savior and the CDC and, you know, and it's just like, yeah, you're right. They tell you, they condition your mind ahead of time that when you see it, it's not like brand new to you. It's something almost like you expect it to happen eventually.
It's normal. It's like they repeat it over and over, like Project Mockingbird on the news, repeat it over and over and over again. I did a show the other evening and I accidentally said Russian disinformation. I'm like, I meant disinformation about Russia and like stuff. But, and so I told my listeners, I was like, you got to be careful of that, because I do listen to the news just to hear the clips and stuff. But I'm like, it gets into your head and then you got to make sure, because it even came out. I'm like, that's not actually what I meant, but it was sitting there because Project Mockingbird, you're hearing it everywhere and stuff. And it is something like we as patriots have to be careful of, because we've been MK Ultra'd so much and Project Mockingbird and everything from the news and stuff. And I mean, it's something we still have to be careful of.
Yeah, it is. And that really is. I just can't stomach watching any of it. I mean, I understand you got to watch.
My dad can't either. So you're good. He's like, tell me what they say. He's like, exactly. I can't do it. He's like, I can't do it.
That's what I do. I let everybody else tell me what they said, because I don't even want to hear the stuff, just knowing it's lies and lies. But no, I mean, you brought up great stuff. MK Ultra and Project Mockingbird. On my website, I got that one. I got the one video on government where I talk about I don't work for the government, he works for me. Well, I got another one on the media right next to it. And that's what I did. And that's what I showed. And that surprised so many people, because what I did was we took like 26 different newsrooms across the country, Tampa, Tulsa, Columbus, Pittsburgh, and put them, all of them coming from their local media right next to each other. And they were saying the exact same thing at the exact same time. I mean, they were all reading from a teleprompter. I said, this is evidence of a conspiracy. I said, somebody is sitting somewhere with a teleprompter and sending it to these newsrooms across the nation. And they're saying, just read the script. And that's all journalists are anymore. They're just actors that are reading from a script. And that's what I prove in that video. I mean, I didn't prove it. A couple other people put the video together, but I put it on my site to show them that, guys, you're being played. You're being played big time.
Oh, yeah. Because whenever they say the exact same thing, that's what people, whenever they're looking at like stories, like if like you're convicted, like, if you're like on trial for murder, like people like looking at alibis and stuff and things, like whenever people give their like testified statements or their statements, if they say the exact same thing or about like whether where they were at or what time they were, like alibis and things, they usually know it's been rehearsed if they say the exact same thing, because people just naturally will say things differently or they'll remember from a different perspective. But if they're saying the exact same words, the exact same syntax, you're like, rehearsed. And like you said, that's exactly what is going on in mainstream media. And somebody has to be sending it all places. And since these are all different, probably outlets and stuff, I'm assuming, like ABC, all different news media outlets, even local ones, you're like, somebody from some central organization is sending it to all these media outlets. So who's doing that? And then who's above them doing that? So it's taking it back, the breadcrumbs. Yep.
Yeah, well, I'm a former police officer, and you take eight statements from some people that all watch the same thing, and it's not, you can tell it's not no rehearsed anything. Everybody's just saying it. I mean, just think of the four Gospels. I mean, here you have four guys that witness the same event, you know, and they all tell it from a different perspective. you know, Luke was a doctor, so he wrote more on the healings and the miracles than May Mark, you know, Mark did.
Yep.
I mean, so it's the same story, but you can tell there's a lot of difference to it, just from the perspective of the writer. And when you get, when you get 80 different journalists all saying the exact same words at the exact same time, just like they're all in, like singing in a choir, you know, it's a conspiracy. There is no way around that.
That's where they got the name Mockingbird, because it's like they're all birds chirping at the same time. Chirp, 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 chirp.
Exactly right.
Which I'm like, I'll give them that. That's actually a pretty creative name for it. I'm like, Project Mockingbird. I'm like, yeah, that's, I'm like, so that, so whoever marketed that name, I'm like, that's a pretty good name for it, because that's exactly what it is.
Well, I think it was the CIA. I think the CIA actually came up with Project Mockingbird, and they put CIA people in the journalism schools. And I actually, I saw an interview from a senator, and it, this was years back. But I just saw the video clip again recently. They interviewed the CIA, and they said, does the CIA have any agents in any journalism school? Yeah, well, you know, I think that's something better that we talk about behind closed doors. And they would not even answer it. So, I mean, on that video that I have on my website, I show, I think it was like in 1983, it was when I graduated, 30 companies owned all the media or something like that. Now there's eight. Eight companies control the media worldwide, and I'm talking ESPN, everything. So that's what I tell people ahead of time. I'm like, you know, when the same narrative is coming out of everything, I said, now they've even got ESPN. So as soon as the Ukraine thing happened, now they started interviewing basketball players that had played in Ukraine. And I mean, here it is, Ukraine narrative, even coming through ESPN, because they know a lot of people won't even pay attention to the news, but they'll watch sports. So they got to control the narrative through sports too. So it's pretty obvious once you're red pilled, you know what you're looking at. It's, you're not being deceived too much anymore.
I know. You see the matrix right in front of you, and the see the lines and the ones and the zeros and stuff, just like in the movie. That's exactly how it is.
I know. Ain't that crazy? And one of the things I said, here, keep something in mind, guys. I said, over in Thessalonians, now I'm a theologian. That's what my master's in my doctorate's in Christian education. I said, over in Thessalonians, when it talks about the man of sin and the Antichrist, it says God will send them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie because they did not love the truth. So I think the truth goes out, and when people just do this, blah, 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 then God, you know, that's what I'm wondering. How many of these people have already been turned over to a reprobate mind? They've rejected the truth so many times and so long that their conscience is so seared, as it says in Timothy, that they can't even hear the truth anymore. And the best example of that is Pharaoh. I mean, Moses went to Pharaoh, let my people go. What did it say? Pharaoh hardened his heart five times. What's it say after that? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He's like, look, you've been told the truth five times. You don't want to hear it. That's fine. Now I'm going to put you on a path to destruction. And that's I think that's what we're seeing.
I think so. Yeah. Cause whenever you, it's like, whenever you block it out so much and you won't listen to the truth. And at a certain point, it's like your heart's hardened and stuff to the spirit and to the God's working. And like I said, and even to Christians that happens, which that's why as Christians, we're supposed to be, whenever we get like that conviction and stuff and chastisement from the Lord, we're supposed to listen to that and learn. And because if we don't, we may end up becoming pretty much useless to the kingdom here on this earth. And that's a scary thing to think. And like I said, we're seeing a lot of that in the people in the church. They just, a lot of them don't know the word. They're not in the word. They do their little like 1 minute, 5 minute devotionals each day, but they're not actually in the word, going through the whole word, and they don't know it. And that's because if they did, the things about people who are evil and who do evil things to people and children, we see that all throughout the Bible and history. It's like, it's not surprising, but they're just not in the word. They're too focused on watching their sitcoms or everything else. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, as Christians, we're supposed to be in the word.
It's the only way to keep from being deceived. I mean, that's the whole thing. If you know it from front to back, and you know, it's, I mean, Jesus even said, guys, the deception will be so great to fool even the elect. So you ought to be like, whoa, wait a minute. We've been warned of a great deception. Your heart cried, Lord, don't let me be deceived. Do not let me be deceived by either side, by any side. You know, I mean, that's what we, you got to have enough humility to think I could be wrong. I could be being deceived. I don't want to be deceived. And if we cry out and ask him, don't let us be deceived.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes us one of the elect, because the people that, oh, I couldn't be deceived. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. You people are stubborn and hard-headed and hard-hearted. And I'm glad you said that, because doesn't all of Hebrews 3 and 4 talk about harden not your heart? Harden not your heart. Don't do the same thing the children of Israel did. If that wasn't possible, why are we given that warning in a couple of chapters?
I know. Yeah. And if you think about the deep state, a lot of what they have now, they would never have gotten if Christians had been awakened and we had known the truth about a lot of this stuff. It wouldn't have gotten as far as it had. And even a few hundred years, it would not have gotten as far, because they would see what the deep state was doing and the evilness of it. And they'd be like, we're not going to allow this to happen. But because the church has been so just like shallow and become so like in lockstep with the world under the guise of like, oh, we'll go out here to and become like the world to win people over to Christ. And you're like, no, we're supposed to look different. That's why they see the difference in us and then be like, what's different about this person? So it would never have gotten to this point, like, or it wouldn't have gotten as far along as fast as it has if Christians in the church had been awake. But
yeah, well, like I said, a lot of them are just naive, because it doesn't even enter into their mind that people can be that evil.
Yeah,
you know, and when people say, well, people are basically good, I just open up a history book and go, no. I open up the Bible and go, no. I don't know where you're getting this idea that people are basically good. I mean, really, without the restraining of the Holy Spirit in our lives and going, hey, don't do that. Hey, check. You know, if they don't have that, and I never had that 27 years. I mean, I was all part of the Motley Crue, AC/DC, sex, drugs, and rock. I didn't have anything checking me. I did whatever I wanted whenever I wanted. And then I got saved. And I'm like, uh-oh. You know, the scales fall from your eyes. Yeah. And then, you know, you're not that person anymore. So, I mean, we need to evangelize. We need to wake people up. And like you said, there are people that have absolutely made their choice to worship the devil, to sacrifice kids, to adrenochrome. I mean, just they have made that choice. And I guarantee you God dealt with them and dealt with them. I mean, that's really what kind of makes like a serial killer. We talk serial killers and they're usually just one person. First time they did that, if you ever watched any of those shows on like A&E, the first time they did it, they knew it was wrong. It was, you know. But then they did it again. And every time they did it, it just got easier and easier. And they basically seared their conscience. That's what it says over. So I'm sure a lot of the people in this deep state, they knew right from wrong, and they knew what they were doing was wrong. And they didn't think they were going to have to account to anybody. Now they're so lost in their own delusion that now we're just enemies of one another. And we can't let you do what we know you're going to do to our children and our grandchildren.
Yep. And we're not going to let it happen. That's why you running. I mean, we the people taking it back. Christians, like I said, spreading the truth, telling people about Christ, because Christ is the only thing that changes the heart of man and stuff. But it's like, and also just stand up at the local level and stuff and just continuing to get the gospel out. That's what this whole thing is about.
It just saddened me to watch that debate this morning, though, because you hear these people talking, what's your platform? All jobs and government and energy and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, saving our republic? How about we start with saving our republic and we'll worry about the jobs and everything else later? Because if we lose our republic, like Reagan said, if we lose freedom here, you're not going to have a job. You're not going to have this. Yeah. You're not going to have that. And, you know, unless it's given to you as a government handout because you're, you know, you're a good socially responsible person.
I know. And then Bloomberg opinion and all them like, suck it up. Just pay gas prices. Go get an electric car. And you're like, are you stupid? And most of them, I mean, really are. Because like I said, I always say there's a difference between dumb and stupid. Dumb is really people who really don't have an ability to think. Stupid is the, like, you have the brain, you have the capacity to think, but you just choose not to. And I'm like, that's what we're seeing. And some of these people actually really might be dumb. Their brains really, they may literally not have an ability to even think, just because it's been so seared and so MK altered all their lives. So that's why they really like, we can't see this stuff. Yeah, just suck it up. Pay the prices. You make like $500,000 a year and you're telling people who make $50,000 a year to suck it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I try to find myself with that same thing, because I see you stupid quite a lot too. And I don't know, the way I kind of see it, yes, everybody has a different IQ level, right? And that IQ level was given by God. So some people are just naturally, you know, smarter. Sheldon Cooper, you know, that guy on that.
On Big Bang Theory. I love Big Bang Theory. I do like that.
It's supposed to have this big, you know, big head and knows so much. Yeah. Some people like you, someone are down here. I said, but the Bible talks about willful ignorance. They are willfully ignorant. Yeah. They're ignorant because they want to be. It has nothing to do. You can have a 50 IQ, but if you want to know the truth and you hear the truth, that's all that matters. Because, I mean, Christ spoke in an eighth grade education level. Yeah. So, I mean, it has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with IQ. It has to do with you want to hear the truth or whether you're going to be like the three little monkeys that, see or no evil here. I don't want it. Don't show me that. Censor that. I'm offended by that. Those are the people who are willfully ignorant.
Yep, exactly. Because back then the Pharisees, they were the real smart, high level people, but because they just wouldn't hear the truth. They had ears to hear, but they wouldn't hear. And so Christ was telling the common folk, and they heard the truth. And
That's what it's going to take. Again, I've been saying that for 20 years. I said there's going to be another Reformation, and it's not coming out of the church, because you got too many scribes and Pharisees. You got too many people that are stuck in their tradition, and this is the way we've always done it, and we're not going to do it any different. And then you get people that are saved and just on fire for Christ, and 3 years into their walk, they know more than the guy in the pulpit for 30 years. Now, you got to weigh this with, and I say this a lot on my show, you know, it's supposed to be God, the man of God or woman, whoever's called, and then the elders. Well, churches aren't run that way. Churches are basically run by elders and deacons that tell the pastor what to say. Jesus called them hirelings. So I got called into my church in front of a bunch of elders the last time, and it's probably going to be the last time. And I said, do you realize I don't work for you? Do you realize I work from the Holy Spirit? I spend 2 to 3 hours, and that's not exaggerating to myself. I spend 2 to 3 hours walking around my studio in the morning before everybody's up praying and seeking God. And you created me. This is a day you made. What do you want me to do? And I do whatever the Spirit tells me to do that day. I said, I don't work for you. If you can tell me that you're praying 2 to 3 hours a day and ask God what you want, then I will listen. If you come at me with a thus saith the Lord, here I am. I'm listening. But you're not praying, you're not reading, you don't walk with Christ, and then you think you're going to tell me how I'm going to run my ministry. You bumped your head.
I know. So many of the elders, most of it's because the pastor starts saying stuff that the congregation don't like, and that's not popular. And like I said, we've bounced around a bunch of churches over the years and stuff, and I've seen the exact same thing. And like I said, I love the body of Christ. Whenever people say the church, they automatically think four walls and a roof. Walls and a roof. I'm like, look, if the people there are gathered together in the name of the Lord's there, but I'm like, look, it's still just four walls and a roof. The church is the body of Christ. And there should be that differentiated like ish in there between that and like the building and stuff. So I'm like, I love being around the people of God, because as Christians, we do. But I've been in so many of these churches where it's the pastors. And like I said, the elders, the pastors won't say anything. One of the churches we were at, a pastor, he started telling more of the truth and he got fired because the elders there didn't like what he was saying, because attendance started going down and money started going down because he was telling the truth. And the people in the congregation didn't like it because it was convicting to them and who they particularly would vote for.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And that's what I've said. I said, it's all about butts in this. I call them $1 million bushels. Churches are $1 million bushels. You know, Jesus said, don't hide the light in the bushel. So we don't have outreach ministers. Nobody's going out into the community to talk to anybody. And the only thing we care about is butts in the seat and money in the plate. Like you said, all of a sudden the money starts going down. The attendance starts going. Well, you need to soften your message. You need to be more people friendly. Jesus wasn't. Jesus offended people all the time. If you read your Bible, you would know that.
Why do you think they crucified him? You're not going to crucify somebody who you love and you look up to, or like who you love and like you're like, oh, they're great. It's like, you're not going to crucify that person. It's because they didn't like what he said.
Yeah. That's why I say it quite a bit. Christianity has become the religion of nice. If it's not nice, we shouldn't say it. No, if it's not truth, we shouldn't say it. If it's truth, we should say it. It wasn't nice when he called them the children of the devil. It was not nice when he called them hypocrites. It was not nice when he turned the temple over and sat there for probably hours making a whip. That wasn't nice. I mean, I can see a whole lot of you sitting there telling Jesus, now that's not very nice, Jesus. You know?
Those tables were big that he flipped. Those would have been canned carved tables. And he would have, man, like obviously he would have had been muscular to like lift those things. I wonder what that looked like that day. I've always wondered that. I'm like, Lord, what did that look like that day? And what are the people, like the faces on the people, like, what's he doing?
Well, there's a scripture that I pray every morning. Yeah. So I basically just say the Lord's Prayer as I start off. And yeah. I'm like, okay, this is a day that you made. Here I am. You know, you created me. I'm here for you. What do you want me to do? But then there's a scripture in Isaiah that talks about the seven spirits that were on the Lord. And it says the counsel of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And that with the gospel, those were the seven spirits that were on him. So if those are the seven spirits that he needed to do ministry, those are the seven. I pray for that every morning. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So the counsel or the spirit of might is what you're talking about. The spirit of might came upon him to turn those tables over. It's the same in the Old Testament where they took a door, Samson, you know, and ran with it. So, I mean, it's that spirit of might that allows that stuff to happen. So. And in humility, it's like, look, Lord, if you came down here and you left everything up there and the only thing you did was by the power of the Holy Spirit, I need that power because the only way I'm going to do this is by the same power, the same Holy Spirit that you, because he basically said, look, I'm going to come down there. I'm going to take a body like you on. I'm not going to do any miracles until I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to show you what you're capable of. And once you have that revelation, then you're going to understand. It's like, wait a minute. Yeah. If he did it and I have the same Holy Spirit, then I can do it. Right. So that's we don't walk in that power and that authority in most of the church.
But it's like people like you. It's like we need people in power in like our government to fall on their face before God every day and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Please lead me in today and show me what you want me to do. And that's exactly what we need. And I'm like, man, I hope you win. I'm like, we need that. Yes. Like, yes.
And when people talk about, you know, Jesus didn't talk about politics or government, I'm like, no, wait a minute. I said, you remember when Jesus said the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them? The Amplified actually says becomes tyrants. He says, but it will not be with you because you will be servants of all. And I said, this is not talking about serving in a church. The conversation on the road was like, hey, when this guy becomes king, we're going to be on his presidential staff and we're going to have a lot of power. And Jesus heard that. And he's like, come here. You know, no, you're not going to become tyrants. You're going to be servants. And that's the difference in American government. You have tyrants and you have civil servants. For years, we had civil servants. They understood they worked for the people. Now, with all these mask mandates and everything else, I'm the governor. I'll tell you what to do. Nobody. Declaration of Independence says we, the people, created you and you rule at the consent of the governed. I said, I didn't consent to that. I don't consent to a mask. What do you mean you don't consent to it? You work for me. I don't work for you. Therefore, I don't have to do anything you tell me to do. Yeah. And if we would have just done that during this whole pandemic, it would have been useless here. But it just been like, yeah, whatever. Ignore them. They don't know.
They couldn't do that because I'm like, if hundreds of millions of people just been like, we're not going to wear masks. I'm like, what are they going to do? Lock up everybody? They couldn't have done that. So it's,
No, and everybody did defy all these mandates. Nothing happened to them. The few businesses that had the courage to stay open, they come in, threaten them, and rattle their chains. And they're like, no. Yeah. And that's what I mean. I coach my boys flag football. I got four little boys.
Oh, they're precious.
7 to 13. Anyway, I coach flag football. And when the pandemic said, they said, hey, the health department called and said, coaches have to wear masks. I'm like, I ain't wearing no mask. I didn't consent to that. You know, they're going to shut us down. I said, no, they're not. I said, it's a paper tiger. All they're doing is just rattling their little chains. They don't have any authority. You want me to wear a mask? Pass a law. All right.
Yeah.
I don't work for the governor. Yeah. I don't. The executive orders only apply to the people in his chain of command. That's what I say in that video on my website. If a general in this base gives an order, a general order, it applies to the people in the military on his base. Doesn't apply to that base, and it doesn't apply to the civilians. So when a governor gives an executive order and it goes beyond the sphere of his power and influence, I don't have to obey that. Arrest me. Arrest me and show me what law I'm breaking. Because unless I'm not breaking a law, you have no authority. That's why we have a separation of powers. That's why we have an executive and legislative and judicial branch. So one branch can't be judge, jury, and executioner all at once.
Yep, exactly. And the deep state sounds like they're going to try another virus or whatever. But people, I don't think they're having mandates this time around. They're sick of them. Democrats and Republicans alike, they're all sick of them. They're like, we're not doing this time around. Liberals, conservatives are like, nope, we're done.
Yeah, that's why I think they're going to change their strategy. They're going to go something to like, they're going to nuke a city or something stupid like that and then just be like, oh, Russia did it. And then get everybody all afraid that my city might be next. And I mean, you know, I was named after Kennedy because I was conceived like 6 months after JFK was assassinated. So I'm still familiar with that time people building all the bomb shelters. And I'm like, why are you people building bomb shelters in your backyard? What do you think that's going to do if a nuke goes off? Yeah, you might survive the initial blast. You're going to come out and it's going to be a radiation covered, no food. I mean, yeah, you'd have been better off dying in the blast than having to live in that post-apocalyptic.
And slowly die.
Slowly dying of radiation and starvation and everything. So, but I mean, that's what fear does. They know how to pull people's strings. And that's
the decision-making part of the brain and stuff. And that's why they've had to keep everybody in fearful. Cause if they can keep their decision-making part of the brain off, like, and stuck in that fear mode and keep it shut down, it's like people aren't going to question. They're not going to critically think and stuff. And they're not going to critically think about it. And then the deep state can just do whatever they want.
So when the pandemic, pandemic, scamdemic, whatever started off, which is really nothing but a bad case of the flu, and the death rate shows that. But when it first started off, you know, I had a family, so I was concerned. So I went to the Lord, and I'm like, all right, Lord, what do I do? And he's like, don't worry about it. And the scripture he gave me is in the Old Testament, say 1,000 may fall to your right hand, 10,000 to your left, but it won't come upon you. And I'm like, he's either sovereignly in control or he's not. I mean, he's going to just let me die and go, oh, that was a shame. Wait a minute, you were in control. You know, I mean, remember Israel and Egypt? I mean, all the plagues came on Egypt and none of them came on the people of God. I mean, you don't think the same God's able to do that today and protect us and protect our families? And I mean, you just don't trust God is really what it comes down to. You're acting no different than the guy there that doesn't know Christ. Even though the Bible says do not fear 365 times, you're acting just like the world because you're receiving that false spirit. You're receiving that lying spirit. I think that's really why I don't like the news, because I know it's a lying spirit. You know, in Revelation, it talks about the frogs coming out of the mouth of the prophet and the Antichrist. Those are just lying spirits. And that's why I'd rather just kind of get it third party, because it's just, man, I know this is a lying spirit. I know it's coming. You know, just like Jesus, think about it a minute. Jesus was like, hey, I got to go to the cross. And Peter's like, oh, no, Lord. Well, guess what? Satan was in his ear going, hey, tell him not to go. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. So he understood. He understood the spirit that was basically, working through immature Peter. So he wasn't saying Peter was Satan. I mean, Peter was a great guy. He got saved Pentecost and everything else. So he's not like the Pharisees, which says you're of your children, the devil.
He was just listening to the wrong voice inside and like, it's like, tell him not to go. Tell him no, it's not going to happen. Yep.
It's exactly what it is. That's why I tell people all the time. I say, guys, you see those movies or cartoons. I think there was a Tom and Jerry that had it, that had the good angel.
Oh, the little on the shoulders. Yeah, the good angel.
I said, guys, that is real. That is real as you can get. I mean, and I said, every voice that comes into your head, you better have the discernment. It's either of God, it's of yourself, or it's of the devil. And you got to have enough. You got to be in the word. Like you said, you got to be in the word enough to know which voice you're listening to. Is this me? Is this the devil? Is this God? I mean, I remember once I first got saved, again, 27, I was on a job site and the Lord was like, see that guy over there, go witness to him. And I was like, and I was scared to death. I was like, and I didn't do it. I failed. And when I drove away, I'm like, Lord, how do I know if this is you? And he said, let me ask you this. Did you want to witness to him? I'm like, no. Did the devil want you to witness to him? I'm like, no. Well, guess whose voice that was? Going to Congress, I'm reading them the Riot Act. I'm telling them exactly. I'm telling them everything we're hearing here. Yep. If you don't go to church, you may never have heard this. You may go to church and your pastor doesn't speak on these things. I'm reading you truth. I'm telling you there are two. You are on one of two teams, Team Jesus or Team Satan. One's about the truth. The other's about lies. One's about life. The other one's about death.
Yeah.
And everybody is choosing a camp. Everybody's choosing a side. And I tell that people all that all the time. Jesus said when he returned, there'd only be two groups, wheat and the tares, sheep and the goat, righteous and the unrighteous. And the world is polarizing right now. And what does it say? His word will go out like a sword. What does a sword do? His sword is truth. It goes out. It divides. And then people decide, am I going to be on this side or am I going to be on this side? And I mean, you can lock yourself into eternity that way. And that's some very dangerous stuff.
Yep. Pick a side right now. That's what this whole thing is about. Christians, it's like, pick a side. And patriots, pick a side. It's like, deep state versus white hat war. Christians, we know the spiritual warfare. So we're picking a side here. Exactly.
All the time. Two lines in the sand, God's law and constitutional law. Yeah. Those are the two lines. I'm not backing off, moving off of any of them. If you're doing something that you have no authority to do, I got this Bill of Rights right here. Congress shall make no law prohibiting the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the right to assemble. As I said, man, if I'd have been governor and they said, why haven't you shut down your state? Well, let's see. I told a pastor's wife this. And I said, we failed a Nebuchadnezzar test. And she said, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And I said, what's the fourth commandment? She said, don't work on the Sabbath. I said, no, that's half of it. Man shall work 6 days. If I was governor, I'd be like, I have no authority to tell people not to work. If God commands them to work 6 days, then he's going to have to tell them not to work because I'm not going to do it. So if you want to stay home, stay home. That's fine. But I'm not going to close your business. I'm not going to tell you you can't work. I mean, that remember what Jesus said? He said, if you cause one of these little ones to sin, it'd be better to have a millstone tied around your head. Yeah. I am not telling somebody to break the fourth commandment just because you're scared of a flu bug. Period.
I know. When you got God in your corner as a Christian, it's like to live is Christ, to die is gain. Period.
Yeah.
So what do we have to lose? We die in this life. We go on to be with Christ. It's like it's a win-win.
And here's what because people will be like, what about? I'm like, a Christian can never consider the consequences. Don't consider the consequences for obeying. Well, if I obey Christ, I might get fired. If I obey Christ, I might end up in jail. If I obey Christ, I may. I said, you can't consider the consequences because then you will disobey Christ. I said, the Hebrew midwives, what did it say? Kill these babies. We're not killing little babies. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, worship this statue. We're not worshiping no statue. Daniel, stop praying. I'm going to pray when I want, where I want, how I want. You know, the apostles, don't preach the name of Christ anymore. No, we got to obey God rather than man. Every one of those was a faith-filled believer that told a government official to go pound salt. Every last one of them. I said, it doesn't take faith for you to sit in here for 45 minutes and sing a song on Sunday morning. It takes faith to tell a government official who can throw you in jail or kill you to go pound salt when you know he's telling you to break God's law. It's not happening. Yeah. You're just going to have to kill me and then send me to glory because I'll be like the three Hebrew men, right? Hey, we have no need to answer you in this matter. God will save me. And if he doesn't, we're still not doing what you said to do.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. What a great way to end. I'm like really just encouraging because like I said, there's lines in the sand. And as Christians, we're holding the forking line. And as patriots, we're holding the forking line. And it sounds like we're getting ready to start advancing on the enemy, particularly with these primaries coming up. And it's like, we're coming for you.
That's what I'm hoping for.
We're coming for you.
That's what I'm hoping for. Yep. Let's start pushing the enemy out of the promised land is why I look at it.
Yep. Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on, John. It's just been so fun and just so encouraging talking to you and hope you definitely want to have you back on because it's just always great talking with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll get you on my show in the morning too here. So I'll be following up with you.
Awesome. All right. Talk to you soon, John.
God bless. Thanks.
Hello, fellow patriots, and thank you all so much for watching today's episode. I would also like to thank the sponsor of this episode today, MyPillow. Mike Lindell is a genius in many, many areas, and his products are absolutely no exception. Mattress toppers, sheets, slippers, bath towels, and, of course, pillows are just a few of his many products that you can find at MyPillow.com. When you use promo code Hannah, you can get up to 66% off of all his amazing line of products. My bedroom, personally, is absolutely filled with all kinds of his products, and my dog, Katie, absolutely loves her MyPillow dog bed. Well, at least when my kitty, Demi, isn't stealing Katie's spot on it. There are so many amazing Patriot businesses out in America today, and we all need to support them so that together we can all defund the deep state and refund the kingdom. Until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood Patriot Hannah signing off and saying, remember, stay encouraged. Thank you for watching The Red Patriot Show. To find more of my content, resources, and where you can find all of my video platforms as well as all the social media outlets I use, go to www.theredpatriotshow.com. That's www.theredpatriotshow.com. See y'all later.